the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you communicate with us so frequently on a level that we can understand. How amazing is it that you, the creator of the universe, on a daily basis, humble yourself enough to communicate with us. And Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you value us that much. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us, that you have chosen us, that you value us as your children. We thank you that on a daily basis you open your arms to embrace us, that you hold us tightly and you say, "You are mine and I will not let you go." We thank you, Father, that you walk with us through every step of our life, through the joyful moments, through those difficult, impossible moments, that we can know and place our trust that you are with us. And so this morning, as we seek to dive into your word, into the word that you have communicated to us, we pray that it would open us in new ways, that we would begin to glimpse just a little bit more of who you are and the plan that you have for us on this earth. As we seek to live our life as incense, raising up, that we live our lives as living sacrifices for you. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to be praising you for. Father, thank you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So in this passage, like many other passages, Jesus uses something that is very familiar to his audience to explain a concept that is difficult. So it's something that Jesus does frequently. We refer to oftentimes as these as parables or stories that Jesus uses to illustrate a point that he's hoping his audience will understand through a simplified teaching, or through a teaching that makes it a little bit more understandable. In this instance, he's using two small parables or similes to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like, what it looks like for the kingdom of God to grow here on earth. And these two growth parables throughout the generations have often been subject to misinterpretation. People have often taken these to mean something that they don't. People have frequently taken these to mean that that the gospel is going to spread in such a way that it will eventually take over and replace everything that was there before. That in some ways that maybe it would be more like a wildfire, which also has been used to describe, fire is often used to describe, but where it consumes everything and what was there is now replaced or transformed by something. That is not what this passage is talking about. We know from other parables, like the parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seed, where it says that as the sower sows seed, that some of it will be received in different ways. We know that as some people hear the gospel message, that some will receive it and others will not. That we will live in a world where there will always be people who reject the truth of Scripture, who reject the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And that there will always be a separation between those who believe and those who do not. And so when Jesus uses these illustrations, they're illustrations, yes, of growth, but it's not this consuming growth that we often think of. Until the day that Christ returns, there will be a struggle between the forces of good and the forces of darkness. Until Christ returns, there will be some who believe and some who do not. Our world is in tension. But rather, these two small parables speak to the authentic transforming power of Christ's gospel. The power that it does have. Mustard seeds and yeast or leaven are illustrations that Jesus uses frequently. Maybe you're familiar with the passage, the faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Or in another gospel, it says that the faith as small as a mustard seed can move trees. But Jesus uses these natural things frequently. With yeast or leaven, he's beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees. That mustard seeds would have been familiar with the people. And many of us know, it's something that we begin learning oftentimes in Sunday school, that mustard seeds are something that is very, a tiny seed. And in this case, a seed that is almost difficult to see. Something very small that then grows into a bush that's so large most people might even mistake it for a tree. So it's this explosive growth. Or yeast, when it is placed into flour, transforms the entire, all of the flour. So when yeast and flour are placed into a loaf of bread, it's not just part of the loaf that grows and expands, but it is all of it. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew, became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. So this tiny mustard seed, so small, is almost invisible to the eye, produces this, what is referred to as a tree, capable of housing birds. And so in this case, you know, the gospel message is the seed that is planted. When that seed is planted and it takes root, it grows into this tree. And the birds are the nations or the people of the word or of the world. And so as the gospel message of Jesus Christ grows, it's exponential. And it grows in such a way that it is capable of holding much. In many ways, we see the kingdom of God with these very humble beginnings, which quickly turns into explosive growth. We can think of even Jesus' life here on earth in these terms, where Jesus' birth here on earth was this very humble beginning, born in a stable, placed in a manger to a working class, very poor working class family, to a very young, insignificant mother, to a father who we learn very little about, and to in a backwater town that most people had never been to, who grows into this man, whose ministry has spread out across the world. In his lifetime, thousands upon thousands of people were ministered to by him. We have the accounts of him feeding the 5,000, of healing countless people, of releasing people from demonic oppression, teaching, influencing, humble beginnings. So this humble, small, seemingly insignificant beginnings that have these huge impact on the world. And the yeast, the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. Yeast or leaven works silently and unseen from the inside, but it affects everything. It wields incredible transforming power. Many of us have seen this firsthand, the incredible transforming power that the gospel has on people's lives. Many of us have seen firsthand how lives have become completely changed by the power of Jesus Christ working in someone's life. Maybe it's happened in your own life. Maybe it's something that you have struggled with. And I've heard many accounts of people who are struggling with things like drugs or alcohol and how their faith helped rescue them from that struggle. Or maybe it was depression. Maybe it was a situation that you didn't know how to handle. Maybe it was isolation or loneliness or abuse. And the gospel presents itself in such a way that it changes you. And sometimes that change happens quickly. And sometimes that change happens over decades of faith. But it is a change that it can only be explained by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life and Jesus Christ's redemptive work in your life. So we see from these parables that the kingdom of God is something that is to spread across our world, that it will go out to all of the nations, that its effects will be vast and profound, that the power of the kingdom is immense, because the gospel is the type of yeast that truly transforms lives, and transformed lives are what preserves a semblance of a society of what God designed it to look like. This is the power of the kingdom of God. That Jesus sees us as we are. He sees us even as we are blind and twisted, blind to the gospel, blind and twisted by the world. And he sees us even in that, and he opens our eyes and our hearts and our minds, and he allows us to see the truth, and he begins to untwist us in such a way that we begin to look more and more like him. And he transforms us. And he sets us free. He releases us from our bondage, and we no longer remain small and insignificant, even if we feel that way, because we now stand on the power of God. That God says, I am going to use you, no matter how small and insignificant you think that you might be. I am going to use you to do great things because I am a God who does great things and I have chosen you. So this morning, I have three nevers and three always for you. Three nevers and three always. The first never is never stop planting seeds. Never stop planting seeds. Planting a seed can be a simple thing. A smile, a hug, a kind word, sharing the gospel with someone. Because remember, a seed is something that is incredibly small that God does a miraculous thing through and creates this amazing growth. And so our lives are designed to be about planting these seeds. That we aren't supposed to be discriminate about how we plant our seeds. Yes, we have the parable of the sower about how there is good soil and bad soil and rocky soil and how weeds come in and birds come and pluck those seeds. But we're not the ones who are in charge of growing those seeds. We're just asked to plant them. And God says, plant them and I will make them grow. And frequently, God grows those seeds in places that we might think was impossible. And so we plant, and we never stop planting. The second never is never underestimate what God can do with the seed that He planted in you. Never underestimate what God can do with the seed that He planted in you. That you may feel like your life doesn't have that much significance. What could God ever do with somebody like me? What skills do I have to offer the kingdom? Maybe I am too young. Maybe I am too old. Maybe I am not attractive enough. Maybe people don't seem to like me. Maybe I don't speak that well. Maybe I don't know the Bible that well. Friends, it's not about us and our skills and our talents. If we look at the entirety of Scripture, the people that God uses in mighty ways are the people who were discounted, left out, second choices, even last choices. The people who never should have been expected to do the things that they did. And these are the people that God has chosen. God says, yes, maybe you are insignificant to the world, but I am not an insignificant God. I am a powerful God, and I choose you, and I will do powerful things through you and your life. And likewise with that, don't ever underestimate the power of the seed planted in somebody else. The third, never underestimate the impact you can have on those around you. Just like yeast and flour, we can be like yeast to the people around us. How we respond to the world around us, how we behave, our attitude, the perception that we are putting out, can have a great impact on those around us. Whether that's our family, those who we are living with, the people that we are working with, the people that we are engaging with. And we often, you know, see this, that if one person in a family or who's living together is in a bad mood, it usually doesn't take very long before the rest of the house is in a bad mood also. Or if you are at the grocery store, and somebody is grumpy or maybe being rude or inconsiderate, it doesn't take maybe very long for you to then become grumpy or rude or inconsiderate, or maybe it happens while you're driving. But we all can probably think of an instance where somebody's mood or attitude has affected us probably in both negative and positive ways. And so likewise, how we engage with the world, the attitude that we have, has an impact. And this isn't to say that we have to be happy all the time. No. Because that would be a lie. But in the midst of our pain, our sadness, our struggles, how are we responding? The world needs to see us in truth. So we don't hide our pain. We don't hide our struggles. Maybe we don't advertise it, but we don't hide them because the world needs to see how we respond in the midst of that. So those are our three nevers. Our three always. Always be encouraged and encourage others. So this is one of our themes that our fearless leaders gave us on the mission trip, was encouraging one another. And it's a great theme because it's easy on a mission trip to become discouraged. But the reality is that something that's true on a mission trip is really true in the mission field of life, is that it is easy to become discouraged. Maybe you've known somebody for years and years, and you've been planting those seeds and planting those seeds, and it doesn't seem like any of them have taken root. Or maybe you've been planting seeds for years, you know, and you've been throwing them widely, and it doesn't really seem like you're seeing any growth. And God, he says, remember, the growth isn't up to you. The growth is up to me. Be encouraged. Remember what I have done in you. See the transformation that has taken place in you. I have that same power to do that in the lives of whoever I choose. Be encouraged and encourage others as they sow seeds. The second always is always know that you are loved, that you are set free. That we serve a God who is unchanging. He doesn't sway or tarry. He always is. He is unchanging. So when I first became a Christian, something I struggled with was how God could love somebody like me. And a friend of mine, a missionary friend of mine at the time said, the most important thing that he could teach his children was that he loved them, because if they didn't understand the way that he loved them, then they could never understand the way that their father loved them. And so he said, it's so important for us as Christians to demonstrate that love. That we demonstrate that love so people can understand what it means to be loved by the Father. And there are things in this world that happen to us or around us that make us question at times whether we are loved. And we are also human. And we think about the times where maybe we have been disappointed, where we've been disappointed by someone else, or maybe we've been a disappointment to someone. And we think about how we're children of God and we wonder, is God disappointed in me? Have I somehow failed? Am I messing up? Does God now love me less? Well, here's the thing. Have you messed up? Absolutely. Are you a failure? Yes. But that's the whole point. Is that God says, you're messed up and you're failures, and I love you anyway. That you will never be able to live up to the expectation. And that's why the relationship with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice is so essential. It's because we need a Savior. Each and every one of us needs to be lifted out of our failing lives, our not good enough lives, and be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us stand before God and for Him to say, "You are now worthy. You are redeemed." And friends, the blood of Jesus Christ is not a stain that you can wash off. It's not something that the world can take away from you, that the devil can take away from you, that you can remove from yourself. Once you have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it sticks to you. It cannot be removed. And so you are loved. You are set free. And then lastly, always give thanks. Always give thanks. It's the new song we sang today as the incense of our living sacrifices, our lives. Always give thanks. That our lives should be a response to the great gift that we have received. That we should be thankful and we should live like it. That it's easy at times to get into these woe is me or this life is hard. And it is hard. And we do have moments where we deserve to mourn and be sad. But in the midst of our mourning and our sadness, we give thanks that God is still God, that He is still good, that He has a plan and a purpose for us, that we don't remain sad forever, that the sadness won't remain forever, that the hard times won't remain forever, that we have an eternity and a future in Him. So it is very possible to experience more than one emotion at the same time. And the Bible encourages us for one of those emotions to always be thankfulness. For our response to always be thankfulness. And of course, we're human. We already talked about this, that we mess up, that we fail, where there's probably going to be lots of moments where we don't live up to this expectation. But the failure should not prevent you from the future. That just because you've messed up in the past doesn't mean that tomorrow you can't wake up and try again. And try again. And try again. Because God wants a relationship with you. God has chosen you. He loves you. He has called you. He has invited you to be part of His mission plan. He has invited us to be able to step into seeing the miraculous. That as seeds are planted, seemingly tiny, insignificant seeds, and to watch them grow and develop. So we have the opportunity as Christians, as small and insignificant as we might be, to step into the miraculous world of God, where we are always loved, where we can see miracles happen before us, and we can be encouraged by Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, for those of us who have placed our hope and our trust in you. We thank you for the seed that was planted in us. We thank you for the way that it has grown. And for those who do not yet believe in you, Lord God, we pray that the seeds would continue to be planted, that they would take root and they would grow. We pray for those in our lives right now who we know the roots have not yet taken root. And we pray for growth. We pray for boldness. We pray for encouragement. We pray that we would be able to see your miraculous power moving and working in the world around us, that we would not become discouraged, that we would seek to encourage one another. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are so very good to us, and we are so very thankful for that. We thank you for setting us free. We thank you for loving us. We pray these things in the transforming power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.